Christian Parenting.
Aloha, friends, and welcome to the Monica Swanson Podcast, powered by Christian Parenting. I am Monica Swanson, mom to four boys, wife to Dr. Dave, podcast host, and author of Boy Mom, Raising Amazing, and the newly released Becoming Homeschoolers. Here on the podcast, it is my goal to bring you practical advice and biblical wisdom for raising amazing kids and building strong families. You can always find show notes over at monicaswanson.com/podcast. I'm so glad you're here, and I hope you'll be encouraged. Hey friends, welcome back to the podcast. It is such an honor to get to show up here every week and bring you great guests and encouraging interviews. So thank you for continuing to meet me here. And if you happen to be new here, welcome to the podcast. I want to make sure everyone listening knows that I have a home base where you can go to find out more about me, find all the resources, blog posts I've written over many years, and connect with me on a deeper level. And that is monicaswanson.com. That's my website. And I have links to everything over there, including show notes for this podcast. So again, monicaswanson.com. Now, today is a special episode. Hopefully you caught last week's episode with Sarah Molitor. Sarah wrote the foreword to my most recent book, Becoming Homeschoolers. Sarah is a young homeschooling mom to seven kids. Hello. And she is just amazing. But today, we actually have Sarah's sister-in-law with us, Anne Dunnigan. Now, there's kind of a fun story there. If you read Sarah's book, Well Said, which I hope you have. If not, you want to get your hands on it. She was on the podcast last fall talking about Well Said. But she tells a little story in that book, kind of a father of the bride story, where when her husband Tim's mom was pregnant with Tim, she had an older daughter who was also pregnant at the same time. Well, that older daughter is Anne Dunnigan, who's with us today. So this is Sarah's sister-in-law, Anne Dunnigan, and she has an amazing life story to share with all of us that I think will inspire you. Anne has been a lifetime missionary, a homeschool mom. She is passionate about her faith and has so much energy and enthusiasm. It's contagious. And I read her book, The Mission-Minded Family, and it was so full of practical encouragement for people who are here, not on the mission field, but want to raise kids who are mission-minded, want to raise families that have a heart for the lost and for sharing the gospel message with anyone, whether they're out on the mission field or not. So I invited Anne to come on and just to offer some of that practical encouragement to all of us. So I think you're going to love her and everything that she shares. Now, before we get into that, I want to make sure you know about a resource over at Christian Parenting. And this is something I know so many of you will be interested in because I hear from so many parents that are looking for devotionals for their kids. Well, Christian Parenting is teamed up with First 15. That's the app I use for my morning devotions. But they've teamed up to create a 20-day devotional for kids ages 6 to 12. And this will help your kids discover what it means to have God's Spirit in them. Kids will learn how much God wants to be a part of their lives and help them to be more like His Son, Jesus. So each day, there's three things in this devotional for your kids. Number one, it's a scripture for the day and a short devotional that will teach your kids about God's Holy Spirit, about them, and about the Bible. Number two is a special prayer to help kids spend time talking and listening to God. And number three, a fun activity to help kids apply the truth they've learned. This is a wonderful opportunity for kids to learn to spend time with God and to understand His love for them and the fact that He sent His Holy Spirit to live in them. So for more information and to get your copy of this devotional, head over to cpgive.org. That's the letter CP, as in Christian Parenting, give.org, and request your copy of God's Holy Spirit in Me, a 20-day devotional for your kids. So now, without further ado, let's jump in and enjoy this conversation with Anne Dunnigan about how we can be mission-minded families wherever we are. I hope you're encouraged. Hey, Anne, welcome to the podcast.
Well, hello, Monica. I am delighted to be here with you.
Oh, I've been so excited And I'm just so thankful that I met you through Sarah Molitor, who I am just so blessed has partnered with me in writing the foreword for my book, Becoming Homeschoolers. And I just have so much respect for her. And then when she told me that you are her sister-in-law, I was like, okay, I got to get to know this woman. So I have a lot I want to talk about today. I'm so excited to share you and your family and your just journey through life with my listeners. Before we do that, why don't you just give the quick snapshot of who you are, where you are, because that's fun too.
All right. Well, I'm Ann Dunnigan, and Sarah Molitor is my sister-in-law. If you have heard the story that she shared, kind of the father of the bride story, I was the one that was pregnant at the same time as my mom when she was pregnant with Sarah's husband, Tim. So my second son is the same age as my youngest brother, Tim Molitor. And my husband and I, we have seven kids. We are going on 18 grandkids. We're longtime homeschoolers, but our kids are now all grown and graduated. And since 1987, we have been involved in global missions and evangelism, orphan ministry, and my passion is mobilizing mission-minded families.
Okay, well, I appreciate that quick intro, but I'm going to add a little bit more, which I don't usually do, but I know you're humble, and so you're not going to say all this, but I want to share a little bit more introduction, just so people know who we're listening to today, because this is pretty wild. Your family has traveled to over 120 nations. Wow. On all seven continents. And you have written over a dozen books and training courses for parents and children, mostly about missions and family life. You and your husband together have helped pioneer over 500 remote village churches in remote, unreached areas. My goodness. You've preached in all kinds of crazy places, in Rwandan prisons, right after the genocide, Sudanese refugee camps, on top of the Eiffel Tower in Paris, that was you, on streets of the Caribbean islands, in fancy churches, in huts, and on cruise ships, to name a few. You've launched an orphanage ministry that you started with your teenage daughter, currently caring for 1,200 orphan children in Africa and Asia. That's just a few things. So we could easily be overwhelmed and intimidated and be like, okay, you've done a lot.
By the grace of God.
By the grace of God. I'm so inspired, and I have loved your book, The Mission-Minded Family. You also have The Mission-Minded Child. Is that what the other one is called?
We have newly combined those two. The Mission-Minded Child and The Mission-Minded Family into one book, Mission-Minded Families, which is saying yes to God's Great Commission.
Incredible. So with all that in mind and that kind of intimidating bio, the question we have for you is, how can a normal family that's sitting here going, wow, I'm just trying to get by raising these kids in America, how can we be a part of global missions? Can you just speak into our lives right where we're sitting right now?
Well, I will tell you, Monica, that for a long time, my husband and I ministered at homeschooling conventions, just as we were going and seeing really huge needs overseas, seeing so many people who haven't heard about Jesus and poverty and different things. And then I would come back and I would go to a homeschool conference and it would just bug me so much that it just seemed like people did not care. People didn't care about the lost. People didn't care about orphans and all kinds of things. And so it was out of that frustration that I wrote some homeschooling curriculum in these books. And I remember I began speaking at homeschool conventions and I would have my table set up that was all, get a passion for the nations and the world. And often what people would do is they would see my booth and it's like, care for the world and maps and things like that. And they would not even look at me. It's like sometimes
conviction.
They would look and it's like, I can't even look at that right now. And just realizing people at a homeschool convention, they're trying to figure out how to homeschool. They are there for that purpose. And just to even think about like unreached people and the needs of the world, most people just could not handle it in that setting.
Yeah.
And we actually
understandable,
redesigned some of our workshops to parenting by faith, not by fear, or, you know, how to raise your boys to be men and men of God, or how to raise your girls to be daring daughters or mission-minded women. We kind of just, you know, aiming arrows into adulthood. And they actually were all about having a passion for global missions, but we just kind of redesigned them in different ways.
Rebrand,
I would just say for all of us, as Christians, the greatest commandment is like a cross. You know, there's a part that points up and down, and there's a part that points side to side. Up and down, the vertical part of the cross is that we are to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then the horizontal part of the cross, that we're to love our neighbor as ourselves. And who is our neighbor? It's not just the person right next door. It's definitely not just only the kids that are sitting around our table. The neighbor, you know, Jesus mentioned the story, and it was about the Samaritan man that was on the road, or it was the man that was on the road, and the Samaritan man was the one that, you know, came and helped him. But that we need to realize that, you know, this world is something that we're supposed to care about. And when the Bible says to go into all the world, it includes into every sphere of society, into every world. Like when I learn about your family, Monica, about, you know, coming up this year, you've got golf tournaments for your son. You had TV crews that were coming in. You have this podcast that goes all over the world. You know, you got kids in the surfing world, you know, kids that have gone on and they're living in different places, of realizing in all of those worlds, there are people who don't know Jesus. When we go to the grocery store, there are people that we are meeting who are not in the kingdom of God. We're like coming with the kingdom of God inside of us, going by people who are stuck, lost in darkness. And we just need to shine the light of Jesus, how he shows us to shine. So, I mean, there's a lot of ways we can instill a heart for the world and the nations, and just even starting right close to home. I like to encourage families, have a 7 for heaven list. You can even do this with your family, where each person writes down 7 names, specific names of people you know who don't know Jesus, and then pray for those together as a family, because we've got to start where it's real. And, you know, when I was a little girl, I prayed for an uncle, Uncle Kenny, who did not know Jesus. He was one of the few people in my sphere that I knew who was not a Christian. And I prayed for him faithfully. And he was a scoundrel. He was lost. He was grumpy. My aunt and uncle ended up getting divorced for 10 years. But then later they got remarried. And towards the end of his life, my Uncle Kenny surrendered his life to Jesus. So as we just encourage our kids to pray, and many times even for those of your listeners who are homeschoolers, there are a lot of things we can do in teaching history and geography and things like that from a biblical Christian perspective that just gives people a heart.
Yes. And I'll say in your book, The Mission-Minded Family, it's so practical. That's one thing I try to do in my books, is I love to be practical, because I'm one of those people that I'm like, I love all these ideas, but what can I do with that? And there is no doubt you offer so many easy, doable, whether you homeschool or not, things a family can gather around and do, whether it's learning about missionaries, little tips for ways you can incorporate prayer and growing in an understanding and knowledge of missions and just the love of the nations for God's sake. So your book gives a lot of really practical things we can do, and I'm so grateful for that.
Yeah, just getting more, just as we draw close to Jesus, he will give us more of his love for other people. You know, whether it's our neighbor, or whether it's somebody we hear about, or people group that we learn about. I think a really basic thing, there's a ministry called A Third of Us. And just the idea that out of every 3 people in the world, 1 out of 3 have never heard the gospel before. And so, you know, even as we begin by teaching our kids to pray for 7 people by name, you know, whether a, you know, a cousin, a friend, you know, somebody at the grocery store, somebody at the you know, somebody your kids surf with.
If someone had told me 18 years ago when my older sons started homeschooling that one day they would be graduating from college with degrees in engineering and data analytics, I'm not sure if I would have believed you. I wouldn't have known how they could learn all those things since those are not my areas of expertise. Well, thankfully God provided and we found some great curriculums along the way, and the curriculum that my boys would say most prepared them for their studies was the Shorman math classes found at diveintomath.com. Now, Dive Into Math offers a biblical and historical foundation in their math classes, teaching the why of learning math. They have self-paced courses and state-of-the-art e-learning systems featuring expert video instruction, interactive assignments with auto-grading, auto-recording, video solutions, and Q&A support with Dr. Shorman, which my boys did utilize. Now, Dr. Shorman is from Texas A&M. He is well-studied, so smart, but he's moved here to the North Shore of Oahu, and we've gotten to know him well, and he is an amazing man we have so much respect for. This next year, as Levi starts high school, he'll be taking Dr. Shorman's Algebra 1 and 2, which teaches every concept on the PSAT, SAT, and ACT with over 200 practice questions. You guys, this is a great curriculum. I highly recommend if your kids are interested in college or at least you want to keep that door open, definitely go to diveintomath.com. Check out all that they have to offer. Let me know what you think. Can't wait to hear from you. Hey friends, want to simplify family meals this summer? With HelloFresh, you get farm fresh, pre-portioned ingredients, and seasonal recipes delivered right to your doorstep. Skip trips to the grocery store and count on HelloFresh to make home cooking easy, fun, and affordable. That's why it's America's number one meal kit. HelloFresh's line of kid-friendly recipes are picky eater-proof and perfect for families looking to shake up their dinner recipe rotation while school's out for the summer. Heading out on vacation? Just update your delivery address and enjoy HelloFresh meals at your vacation destination. Plans are flexible, so they work with your changing schedule. I'm a big fan of the tastes of summer, and I appreciate that HelloFresh has seasonal produce picked at peak ripeness and delivered straight from the farm to your door in less than a week. Now here's a fun offer. Go to HelloFresh.com/MonicaApps for free appetizers for life. One appetizer item per box while subscription is active. That's free appetizers for life at HelloFresh.com/MonicaApps. Remember, HelloFresh is America's number one meal kit.
But then to realize there are multitudes of people around the world that nobody's praying for them by name because the gospel hasn't got there yet.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's huge. Well, I know that I do have listeners who are on the mission field, so that's kind of special. I'm sure they're super encouraged to hear from you. And I've also heard from a lot of people who are currently praying about or training for or raising funds to go on missions, whether it's short-term or long-term. Can you just tell us a little bit of your story, raising your seven kids, doing ministry around the world? Give us a snapshot. What did that look like?
Well, when it started, my husband and I, we had one baby and we were going to Bible school. We were saving our money. We had nobody supporting us. We were preparing to launch into ministry. And my husband went on a walk and he came back. And we were so young, but he came back from this walk and he just said, "Hon, can you sit down?" And I sat down and as I was praying, I just feel that God is saying that we are trusting in our stuff and everything selling and our budget. And he said, "I feel God saying we just need to surrender it all to Jesus." And he said, "I think we're supposed to give away all of our savings and our car and everything we have." And at that moment, I had a choice. And when he spoke it, there was like, I mean, God didn't speak it to me. John shared it with me.
Right.
But when I heard it, there was a faith that dropped down in my heart. And it was kind of a crazy, this is how it felt. Instantly, I felt like, well, if it's God, it will work. And if it's not God, we shouldn't be doing this anyway. So what on earth do we have to lose? And so instantly, I just said, okay, let's do it. Let's do it today. And so we had a home group who knew we had a bunch of stuff for sale. And we called everybody in our home group and just said, hey, all that stuff that you saw in our house that was for sale to like raise money for us to launch out into ministry, it's all free. We are giving all of it away today. If you want it, come get it. Everything's free. And, people were coming that night and taking away all our stuff. And we gave away our car and we gave away our savings to the church.
So let me get this right. You were already trying to sell everything so that you could go on the mission field. But now the next step, the radical step was, no, we're not going to sell it. We're actually going to give it.
Yeah. And I'm not saying try this at home. I mean, this was what God told us. It was, but I will tell you, Monica, something so cool. We had early in our ministry, you know, right stepping out, we gave everything away. Several years later in 1991, we had a big house fire. Our Christmas tree caught on fire. We ended up losing everything in a house fire. Two times we had nothing. And the Lord has just been so faithful. We don't ask for money. Most missionaries do. Most missionaries itinerate. And we do send out a monthly newsletter to people who give to the ministry to let them know what's going on. But it has been absolutely amazing how God has provided for hundreds of outreaches and for our kids and little things like for braces, for bicycles, providing for our kids to go to college and just, you know, and along with, you know, orphans and supporting national missionaries and things. And just to realize that where God guides, he provides. So I do. If there's anybody out there that you feel God stirring in your heart to launch out into ministry or missions and it feels really scary, I just want you to know God is so faithful. And I mean, I don't even really think about money other than just it's like so cool how God takes care of things.
Yeah, he owns a cattle. All the cattle on all the hills in Hawaii and across the nations. That's pretty incredible to think about. And we didn't touch on that, right? You're in Kona now.
We are. Yeah. We lived in Oregon, in the Columbia Gorge area. Right. For those of you who listen to Sarah Mollinger's little podcast with you, Tim and Sarah met at our house.
Woo!
But anyway, so we lived in Oregon for 30-something years. We had been coming to Hawaii on the Big Island almost every year. We have a couple brother-in-laws that have homes here on the Big Island of Hawaii. And we just kept kind of feeling that stirring in our heart that someday God may have us move here. So after all of our kids grew up, right kind of during the whole COVID lockdown time, we felt that we were supposed to downsize and we gave our stuff away, but we did sell our house and we kept the money from our house to be able to get. We moved into a condo in Kona, Hawaii, and are incredible. Just in a really fun new season. We're near the YWAM mission headquarters. Yep. We're not YWAMers, but I love going up there to worship and meet families.
So we love
YWAM. It's a good place.
Oh, that is so cool. Okay, so I'm circling back. I had to fill in that detail because I love knowing we're just an island hop apart. So we're going to have to meet in person. Like, that's just got to happen. But circling back, because I want to wrap my brain around this. You've got seven kids. You're packing everybody up. How did the family do missions? Did you bring everybody or were you doing mission trips with one or two at a time? How did that
work? That's a great question. We started together. So, you know, my husband and I and one baby, my husband and I, two babies, three babies. but then John started going to more and more really dangerous places. He went into Rwanda during the time of the genocide, like in the middle of it. And then immediately after, he was going into refugee camps, into a lot of war-torn areas. Once we got to three or four kids, if I would come along, we just about had to bring someone like a niece with us to be my helper. Otherwise, you know, even just trying to do naps and things like that. My husband is an evangelist. So he's a missionary evangelist. So wherever we go, it's a short time in different areas.
Sure.
You know, even if we're in one, you know, even if we were in one place for like, you know, 6 weeks, it was lots and lots of different places.
Yeah.
So for quite a number of years after we hit 4 kids, and my husband was going to really dangerous places, we mm-hmm. went through a season where he was going and I was primarily staying home. And that was during the time as just, my heart was just burning for the nations. And he's coming back with all these incredible reports of people mm-hmm. surrendering to Jesus. So once in a while, we would go together as a couple mm-hmm. and we had family that would watch the kids. And then as we started getting, as the kids started getting older, then my husband would often go and take like one of the boys. But then mm-hmm. I started going too. And so a lot of times we would tag team, sometimes even to mm-hmm. the same places. And he would go and take a son and I would go and take a daughter. I would work with the women. I would do orphanage ministry, things like that. And sometimes we'd even go to the same places, but it was easier to take turns. So then the other person could mm-hmm. be home with the kids.
Yeah. And you're homeschooling. So you're trying to educate your kids at the same time.
A lot of flexibility. I will tell you, I was able to preview, Monica, your book, Becoming Homeschoolers. Mm. And mm. when I first thought, okay, I have seen a million books on why to start homeschooling. Like, how could there be another book on starting to homeschool? Like, what can this lady share that has not been shared before? But I will say, Monica, your book is so different. And it is amazing. What I love is that you have shared like it's like you share why we homeschooled. Like, we homeschooled because we love our children. We homeschooled because we wanted to have a life of flexibility and passion for the nations and to teach our kids with a biblical worldview. And it's like homeschooling gave us the flexibility to do what God has called for us to do. And most of the other homeschool books didn't capture that aspect. I mean, it was like when I read your book, it made me realize all the fun we really did have with homeschool. And, I want to buy a stack of them to hand out to people because I just feel like your book captures, it captures just this reason of we homeschool because we love our kids and we want to be with them and we want to get to know them and we want for them to know and love this world the way we do and even in unique ways. I loved about homeschool that each of our kids are uniquely different.
Yes.
And you're able to tailor education for each one in a very unique way.
Yes.
And for us, it gave us flexibility to travel, flexibility to do all kinds of things, athletics and fun and adventures.
Yeah. Oh. Yes. I love everything you're saying so much. It just blesses my heart. And I was so honored that you would read an early copy and endorse my book. So thank you so much. And what an honor to hear that this represents so much of your heart. And I'm sure homeschooling wasn't easy. There were times where it would have been so much easier for you to just send those kids to school so that you could focus on the things that, you know, that God was calling you to in the greater world. But, any regrets now? Anything about it that you would look back on and go, maybe for a season we shouldn't have, or anything looking back, or are you just glad you did it?
For us, we really felt it was what God was calling for us to do.
Yeah,
we never gave our kids a choice about it because this is this was God's call for us as a family, and for them, for the kids,
I love that.
They just needed to realize that, you know, the Bible says children duty to obey your parents. Like, for you guys, this is God's call for you because it's God's call for us. It was never a discussion like,
it's
do you want to do this or not?
Right.
It was what our family was called to do. For us, we just know parents are called to teach and train your kids to love Jesus and to fulfill God's call in their life. And even just to give other people, even our own kids, the freedom for them to seek God themselves. For what God has for their lives. There were a few times that it was challenging.
of course.
I would say one of my times that was a big, kind of low point for me in homeschooling. Our oldest son had graduated from high school. He had gone off to college. He was doing really well. He got a bunch of scholarships, and he was graduating from college. And at the same time, I had, you know, all the kids in the middle, and I had one daughter that was kind of having a little bad attitude, and she had just told me, when I grow up, I'm never going to homeschool my kids. And, and a couple of my younger kids weren't doing very good in their homeschool testing. And we had a littlest one that was just going into kindergarten. And I felt that year, I felt like I had run a marathon and I got to the end. And the end was another starting block. And it was like, you can't stop. You just got to keep on running. You got to keep doing this marathon. And as I was thinking about our littlest kid, and I was just thinking, Lord, I just don't know if I can keep doing this. I don't know if I can, like, you know, do the whole algebra in high school,
everything,
you know, sciences, and get them all the scholarships. And I just don't know if I could do it. Anyway, I went to a homeschool convention just to receive.
And
I came home. At that time, they had like CDs of the of the different talks and things. Anyway, so there was one kind of inspiring talk, and I went ahead and bought a CD so I could listen to it later. And the following week, somebody from church who had a kindergartner, their oldest was a kindergartner, said, "Hey, can I come over? I want to talk to you about homeschool." And so I'm like, "Oh, okay." I just got back from a homeschool conference, and I'm sure I'll talk to you. And so this lady was asking me questions, and I actually gave her this book I had picked up at the convention. And I said, "Hey, you should listen to this CD. That, you know, this was a real inspiring talk." And I said, "It's homeschooling a kindergartner is so easy. Like, I mean, you just got to have fun and snuggle on the couch and learn a letter every week and just read lots of books. And it's like so fun. It is so easy." Yeah. And I just encourage this lady, you can totally do it.
Yeah.
And anyway, then she left. And I felt like the Lord just spoke to my heart. And it's like, "Anne, why did you make it so easy for her? And you make it so hard for yourself. You got a kindergartner too. And you didn't tell that lady about college scholarships and high school geometry and all those things." And the word was, there will be grace, just to access fresh grace for each day. And that's for whatever it is we're called to do. You know, whether it's going on a mission trip, whether it's you with your kids, you know, going off and surfing and golf, or, you know, doing a podcast, you know, going and speaking on Focus on the Family. Like, there is a grace that we can just step into. So that was kind of my theme as I continued, was just amazing grace, amazing grace. And something super cool was when we got to the very end, and, my husband said something to me. We were having like a home graduation ceremony for our youngest son. And he says, "You know, I think the kids really appreciated homeschooling." And I'm like, "I don't know." "I don't know. I have no idea if they appreciated it or not, but it was what we were supposed to do. And I did it and we're done. So, okay."
Right.
But he presented me with letters from each of the kids where they shared with me what they did appreciate. And I love one of the subtitles of Monica's upcoming book, Becoming Homeschooler, is about a life that they'll love, a life that they'll thank you for later. And that is just so compelling. And, you know, I think the things that my kids have appreciated the most is that they learned how to teach themselves. Like they loved to learn. And they realized a lot of people with it that they met in college didn't have that love of learning or even how to learn effectively. We loved the Bible, learned a lot. My kids really appreciated that, just being really grounded in the Word of God and in the Bible. And they also really appreciated that they learned how to think outside the box.
Yeah.
and to think differently than others. Oh, and it was so cool that final graduation weekend with my youngest son and all my kids were there is, he was doing this patriotic speech competition at a nearby park in the Columbia Gorge area. And there were like airplanes that were flying overhead. Oh. And there was this bagpipe group that came in right after his speech playing Amazing Grace. And I just remember feeling, Lord, it was all by your grace. His amazing grace.
Yeah. That's encouraging. That's encouraging. What a moment that must have been, the final graduate.
Yeah.
That's huge. That is amazing. And I know your kids have grown up to do a great variety of things. Like you said, they're all so different. What do you have? You have someone who's an engineer, EMT, construction management, global missionary and orphanage work, graphic design and book illustration. Woo! Do the things they're doing, does that surprise you? Or can you look back and go, I saw that coming, or I could have seen that coming?
Oh, something about homeschool is so cool is that you can encourage your kids each in their unique gifts and strengths.
So, yeah.
Like our middle kid, Daniel, who is a professional engineer, he's traveled all over the world doing professional engineering. He grew up very math oriented, building things with Legos, like these giant extension bridges and things. Our daughter asked to paint her bedroom wall. She ended up being just like that little girl on Tangled that, you know, painted every single part of her bedroom. And she's now, she's an illustrator. She does like wall murals for businesses and for homes. So like, you know, some of them we saw artistic giftings. Like our son Patrick that went into the Marine Corps, you know, he played a lot of, what do you call that? Where they shoot each other with
like video game?
Not video. No, not video. We didn't hardly do any video.
Okay,
game
I was going to say. Like paint.
Paintball.
Paintball.
they played tons and tons of paintball. And he also was really involved in like patriotic speech competitions with the VFW and things like that.
So cool.
So all of our kids went on mission trips. They all saw the needs in the world. And by the grace of God, I mean, the biggest thing is they just all deeply love Jesus. They love Jesus, love his word.
Incredible.
So thankful. They're all going to churches that love Jesus, love the gospel.
Wow.
And
there we go.
Together. So, you know, they're best friends. So that's
okay. That is the goal. That's everyone listening, I think, would agree. If they all love Jesus, they love each other, they love you. Wow. What more could you ask for? Okay. So that's where we want to go, whether we're homeschooling or not, whether we're on the mission field or at home. We want to raise mission-minded kids, kids who have a heart for the nations. Can you just maybe speak into our lives in the area of just raising kids who love God's word? Like, I know I hear from a lot of people who are fearful that they're going to somehow turn their kids off if they push too hard, or they're trying to figure out how to, instill love of God's word in their kids' hearts. What kind of encouragement do you have for that?
I love God's word so much. I love God's word. And it's not just a religious checking off boxes. It's that God's word is life and God's word is real. We did really instill in our kids not only to read all the way through the Bible a bunch of times before they grew up, but to memorize large portions of the Bible. That is one thing I have no regrets about, because when your kids grow up, when the word of God is hidden in their heart, it is there. Yes. And then the Holy Spirit can work with that word that is implanted deep in their heart.
For the rest of their lives. Yes.
For the rest of their
still
life.
There.
It's there. It is there. Even songs, scripture songs, hand motions and things like that.
Yes. So what did you, can you tell us what you used for scripture memory and maybe even some of the songs you used? I know there's new ones out all the time, but I'd love to hear.
Well, on at missionmindedfamilies.org, there inside the blog, there is a whole section about scripture memory. There is practical ideas for memorizing Psalms chapter 1, Psalm 23, the Lord's Prayer, the Ten Commandments using hand motions. We would learn the whole Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. We'd take a whole year, and I would just get out like a flipboard, and we would draw little pictures, and that we would just kind of make up as we were going along. Like if it says, Shirley, goodness and mercy, I would draw a little girl that looks like Shirley Temple, and we would talk about it. But it would just, you know, whatever, you know, whether it's just a song or some little memory key to get God's word in your heart. The easiest way to memorize is to simply listen to something 20, 30, 50 times.
Yep. Repetition.
Just hear it over and over again. Mm-hmm. You can learn it without even trying. So like when you drive in the car, sometimes listening to scripture.
Yeah.
So God and his Holy Spirit can speak to our kids, where God can be their teacher, which is something, you know, in the spheres that they're going into. You know, my one son is an EMT that works for an ambulance company. And just recently he was sharing a story about how he was able to lead a coworker to Jesus that just came up to him, and just the guy started the conversation with our son, just really wanting to know what it means to be a Christian.
Wow.
So, you know, that is, you know, incredible. Being mission minded, you know, even realizing those kids of ours that grow up and God's called them to make money and do stuff, you know, of realizing have a passion and a heart for the lost and the needy and the kingdom of God. Just ways that we can teach and train our kids.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, that's huge. Whatever they're doing. And I love that example of your son on the job. He had that opportunity and those seeds were planted in his heart as a boy. So before we close, I know you have shared, again, we're going to share all your resources, links to your website and books and all that, but you have 7 keys for mission-minded families. And I know we can't go into all of those. We're running out of time, but can you just touch on a couple of those to encourage us? Maybe something we can put into action right away, even before we get your book.
I'll just do a couple real quick. The first of all is just see the cross. And that is that we live remembering the cross of Jesus Christ, and that is what it's all about. See the cross, see the need, and that's realizing there are needs in the world, and helping for our children to see, whether it's realizing about the, you know, abortion or orphan children or poverty.
See the cross. Can I ask?
Yeah.
I want to jump into the see the need. For those that can't go on a mission trip, do you recommend, do you feel like books, missionary stories, you have so many again in your book, but is that the best way to, because I think our kids are growing up in such a time where there's a lot of entitlement, everything is so quick, they get everything they need in, you know, push of a button. How do we help them recognize that there's a great big world with a lot of need? Do you feel like stories are the best way to share that, or what do you recommend?
Whatever can make it come alive. And I would say start with the need that you care about as a mom. As you care about it, as you maybe are seeing a particular need that maybe as a family, you can be having a project to raise money for a certain specific need of a friend that you know that is doing something somewhere. And so it's not just like, God bless the missionaries, help the missionaries have all their needs met. It is, you know, help my friend Lizzie, who is praying for the money to be able to go on her mission trip that she wants to do, and being able to give towards that, and then hearing about what happens. Just whatever it can do. I have a friend that works with Human Trafficking Rescue, and she's got homes over in Asia. You know, we have orphan children that we have sponsors for. And just to realize, whatever you can do to make, see the need be real. You know, where that's not huge. Just out there in la-la land, where it's just this huge care for all the people in the world and help all the missionaries to care for all the poor people. It's like that's nothing. That is a stupid prayer that means nothing. It's like we want to pray real prayers that are going to make a difference about real people. So whatever you can do to make it real. So I say, see the cross, see the need. And then the last one I want to share is just see the end. You know, there's this phrase about live with the end in mind. Mm-hmm. What I like to say is that we are living for eternity. And it's not just what other people think about us. It is not just for when we have a funeral someday and what's it going to say in our obituary. But it's like when we are face to face with Almighty God. And, you know, Monica, when we're there, we're going to be there by ourselves. Just me and God, just you and God. Yeah. And we want to just live our life for an audience of one. And that we would see that end. And I want to be able to bring to the Lord. It's like when you go to a party and you want to have a present to give to the one that's being honored. Like, I want to be able to come and pass these crowns down before the Lord, because it is all about Him. And some people say, is it worth it? You know, is missions, is like all this whole Christian life, is it worth it? And the bottom line is, He is worthy. He is worthy. He is worthy of worship. He is worthy of everything, of just doing whatever He has for us to do. He is worthy. And that's all.
Wow. Thank you so much. What an inspiration. That's just beautiful. And again, people can find the others in your book and some linked on your website. Wow. Well, I'm so encouraged, and I love your heart, and I look forward to hugging you in real life one day and maybe doing more together. But thank you for encouraging me. And I told you in an email already that my oldest son was home when your book arrived, and he started looking at it and he's like, I'm ordering that right now. This is what I want for my family. I want my family. And my oldest son just has such a heart for the nations and has really prayed about mission work and all of that in the past. So thank you for encouraging us. You have something new you've been working on, though, that I want you to tell everyone about. You've got the Happy Planner and the Happy App. I love this because as a missionary, we don't always think about your focus being on being happy, right? This is all about sacrifice, surrender. God is worthy. But you also talk about being happy. And I love that. So tell us about that.
That's like what you did in your book of becoming homeschooled. It's just like, it's not just the sacrifices. We're doing this for fun.
Yes, there's joy.
I mean, there is such joy in just being in the presence of the Lord and doing what you have. God's been really instilling in my heart the joy of Jesus. And realizing just the joy of reaching people for Jesus. So we put together a life planning and a prayer guide. It's like a 40-day and a 90-day version. It's available on Amazon, called My Mission Mind, the Happy Planner. And then we have this app that is for Christian women on living in the joy of Jesus. So it's a discipleship, kind of like personal development, but with a biblical Christian worldview. I'm going to be using this just in personal evangelism and things like that. So
cool.
I can give you the link. It's completely, the Happy App is completely free. And
so
the
cool
prayer journal pages for the Happy Planner are all inside of the Happy App. So you can get all the pages for free by just downloading.
Wow. Well, thank you. And I'll link to all that. But really just appreciate you sharing with us and inspiring us. And I'm sure people will have some follow-up questions, and we'll have to have you back on again.
Oh, God bless you, Monica. It would be so fun if we could meet together in person, either on your island or mine.
Absolutely. I'm always up for an island hop. So super fun talking to you. Thanks for being with us today.
God bless you, Monica.
Aloha. Well, I hope you enjoyed that conversation and that you are encouraged and inspired. And as always, you can find show notes with links to anything we mentioned over at monicaswanson.com/Ann, A-N-N, dash Dunagan. And that is D-U-N-A-G-A-N. All right, friends, thanks again for being a part of this podcast community. If we haven't connected on social media yet, why don't you track me down? I love to hang out on Instagram, and I'm at @MonicaSwanson_ over there. So if you find me, be sure to say hi. I love to meet my podcast listeners on social media. Okay, so we've got more great conversations and interviews coming up the rest of this spring and summertime. So come back next week for more. Have a wonderful rest of your week. And until next time, aloha.